Good morning, and happy Mother's Day again. I want to be kind of talk about just a few things. First of all, I'm sure that as we celebrate our mothers, for many of us, there are a lot of moments of joy, memories, but I also want to be sensitive to, because there may be some of you here who struggled on Mother's Day like I did with my relationship with my mom and the difficulties. And sometimes it was hard to celebrate, to remember. I would just ask you this morning, if you're one of those that are struggling with that, I would just ask you to lay that at the foot of the cross and have your identity and that relationship seen through Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're here because of other struggles. I can remember after the doctors had told Glenda and I that they had no idea why we were not able to have children. It wasn't happening. And Glenda said, as we were heading to Mother's Day service, if I hear another sermon on the barren woman Hannah, I'm going to scream to only have Pastor ask us to turn to First Samuel as we look at Hannah and hear her just sigh. Maybe their hurts are here this morning because your mom has gone home. Lay that too at the foot of the cross, all of those. In God's word, it says that he comforts us so that we may comfort others. The elders' wives are going to come and share. First, Elisha, and then Krista, and then Mary, in that order. As they share, this is the thought that came to me this morning. It's not about perfection, it's about faithfulness. And so with that, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you as we pause now and enter this time of worship, as we are going to be challenged and encouraged and hear the story and testimonies of these three ladies, these three moms, these three daughters. Lord, bless them. May your hand be upon them as they share. And Lord, may we sit here as we listen, take to heart the challenges that are being laid out before us. May we look at it through the lens of our faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. May we be able to lay down the hurts, the struggles, the times that we sense we failed or those who failed us. We lay them at the foot of the cross now, Lord. For we no longer want bitterness and unforgiveness to have a hold of our lives, but grace, mercy, and love as we have received from your Son, that we may go forth and share that and realize that our lives are not called to be a perfection in the faith, but to be faithful in who we are in Jesus Christ, that our identity is his. We've died to ourselves, and now Christ lives within us. And so, Lord, we thank you for our mothers as we celebrate them this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Alicia?
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. I have been tasked to share with you some thoughts about motherhood from my experience, what I've learned, some memories I have. And when Pastor Dave first asked me about this, I thought, I am so unqualified to speak to you all about motherhood. I am a mother, but beyond that, my qualifications are limited. So as I was thinking about it, God impressed upon my heart a verse from 2 Corinthians. I'll read that to you. It is Paul speaking of his ministry and his gospel partners, but I feel like very much applies to us probably in all of our walks, but definitely me here this morning speaking to you all. It is from the NLT version, and Paul says, "We are confident of all of this because of our great trust in God through Christ. It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God." The NIV version says competence, so I am not competent on my own to stand up here and tell you anything, but hopefully the message God gave me is something that you can use today. So in that light and from that viewpoint, I am here today. So to begin with, I want you to consider with me a personality test. Perhaps you've taken one, you're aware of them. I think the youth group just did some not long ago. But they are created, or intended, I guess, to show you some of your strengths and maybe what some of your weaknesses are, what you're good at, how you can help others, and maybe where you need some help. There are the results come in a wide variety of, options. You get combinations of letters. You have colors. Sometimes you're an animal of some kind that has some kind of characteristic that may define you. Sometimes it's a description just of character. But mine always lands me somewhere in a category that likes organization and rules. I like checklists. I like knowing what to do, and give me details. I want to know. Tell me what I'm supposed to do, and I will work to get that done. That's my personality. And in many ways, I did not ask my mom if she took a personality test, but I see a lot of those characteristics in her. She's very organized and prefers order to things. And so I learned that mostly through observation. I learned a lot about keeping house, cooking, cleaning, and again, it wasn't a lot of direct instruction, but a lot of observation. I think I followed her a lot of places. And so I learned that way through my mom. She was always there for our family. I watched her serve our family and our church family very diligently. And it was later, when I first got married, that I would call her and say, "Mom, how do I make this recipe?" or "How do I do this thing?" And so she taught me in that way. And if I think back, like, on my childhood memories, my mom was always there. She was home when we got home from school. I can remember she would be working in the kitchen. I'd stand across from the kitchen counter and just unload my day. It may have been more of a list of complaints and my opinions about how the day went than maybe actual facts about what happened, but she would listen. She was there. She was always there to drive me and my siblings to and from practices after school, before school activities, lessons, rehearsals. She was there. She was volunteering in our classroom, coming on field trips. She was just always there for our family. And even now that my siblings and I are grown, she is always willing to help out. She's never presuming things. She usually waits to be asked, but she is always there for us. And so as I thought about my family, how did I want that to look as I had my own family, my own kids, I wanted that availability, that flexibility, and able to be there. And God has blessed us at this point in our life that I am able to do that. But then, As I became a parent, thought about, we learned we were expecting our first child. Remember my personality? I like rules. I like knowing what to expect. So I read books. I read lots of books. I knew about sleep schedules. I knew about feeding babies. I knew about wake time. I knew about how to put the baby to sleep, what you do and what you don't do, all those kind of things. I read the books. I knew the rules. And Trinity was born. She did not know the rules. She was not so well informed. She particularly did not like to sleep for me. Nap times at the very beginning were just short little naps. I'd lay her down, think I'm going to get something done. Checklists. Nope. She would wake up. She'd like to be held to sleep in the middle of the night. In particular, she would wake up at. She'd be hungry. She would be warm and cozy and snack a little bit and then go to sleep and not really be full, so she'd wake up shortly later. She wasn't sleeping. I wasn't sleeping. Things were not good. So the book didn't tell me about this either. So Jonathan and I had to come up with some creative solutions. First, we started by taking her out of her pajamas so she's not so warm and cozy. That didn't work. So we rubbed a wet washcloth on her back. Again, that did not work. We resorted to ice cubes on her feet and up and down her back. Needless to say, we all got through that. I don't think she's too emotionally scarred, but there's that. And then, as she grew up, sleep has always been kind of a thing with her. She would come for years in the middle of the night, knock on our door, like clockwork. I think she just wanted to know that we were still there. We'd talk to her, she'd go back to bed, but every night, I thought, I'm never going to sleep through the night again. But we have managed. She is still a light sleeper, and she still has strong preferences on how things are done, but she brings so much joy to our house, lots of laughter. And so we learned together, all three of us. We made adjustments, and then I had a second child who was completely different. Excuse me. Again, she changed the rules. She was more easygoing. She was more spontaneous, and I can't plan for that either. But she is so creative. For years, I would get bouquets of dandelions. We'd go for a walk. She'd fill the bottom of her stroller with dandelions all around town in Chambersburg. And then when we moved to our current house, I still get bleeding hearts on my table, or daffodils from the neighbor's flowers in the woods. So it was a learning to balance, always balancing. And Proverbs 22:6 came to mind. I know, in the ESV version is how I'll read it to you this morning. It says, train up a child in the way she should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And in the original language and in other teachings I've heard on this, the in the way he should go phrase is also translated according to his bend or their natural tendencies. What are their personalities? Knowing the strength and the personalities of your children can help you know how to develop their strengths, what they're good at, how they can help others, and maybe some areas of weakness where they need help in growing in those areas. But it is my prayer that they can use their strength and their weaknesses to honor God as they move on through life and someday, I guess, out of my home. But going back to the way I am bent, my tendencies, I'm very task-oriented, I like checklists, do, and I struggle with prioritizing relationships to slow down and take time for those. It's a struggle that became much more obvious to me in 2010 when Trinity was born. But I've been battling that balance ever since. I have not mastered it, so I cannot give you advice on that. But I do pray that my children can learn that better than I did. It is something that I see reflected in the life of my mother-in-law, who also plays a role in our family. She intentionally plans each holiday and vacation that we can go on. I think she desires to give her grandchildren perhaps opportunities and experiences that she wasn't able to have. And so she's very intentional about creating those connections and those lasting memories. And so they do have examples of it, and I pray that I can still learn that. So other prayers I have for my daughters, we pray this sometimes over them verbally, sometimes it's just in personal prayer, but over the years, we have prayed. These are the words of Paul. The first one is from Ephesians 1, 15 through 19a, and Paul is speaking to the believers in Ephesus, and I'm going to read it in the NIV this morning. It says, ever since I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in all my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for those who believe. And then also Philippians 1, 9 through 11 says, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. So I pray that my daughters can love spending time in the scripture, getting to know God better, that he will give them wisdom for the decisions they have to make and as they go through life, and that he reveals himself to them in greater ways. I pray that the fruit of the love for God and his spirit living in them can be reflected in their daily life, that they can shine brightly to those around them. And I pray that they also will know the power available to them through the Holy Spirit. Life is not easy. There's lots of struggles. I pray that they can know that he is with them always. And I pray that they will cherish their relationship with Jesus, him and others. So, in conclusion, it's been said that the days are long, but the years are short when it comes to parenting, and time really does pass quickly. I'm watching these girls grow to young ladies right in front of my eyes. So, Psalm 90, verse 12 speaks a little on this, and so it's a good reminder for me and hopefully for you. It says, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So perhaps This is a reminder to you also to use your time wisely and to cherish the relationships around you. So these are the things that I felt God impressed upon me to share with you today. Again, only through God's grace can I share anything with you, but that's all I have for this morning.
Good morning. All right. They said I could be anything, so I became a mom. Mom, I'm hungry. Mom, I feel sick. Mom, he hit me. Mom, I can't find my shoes. Mom, I need help with my homework. Mom, I'm bored. Mom, I had a nightmare. Mom, can you buy this? I have been a mom for almost half of my life and have come to realize that motherhood is an act of service. Every caring act we do for our children leaves a lasting impact on their hearts and shapes their future. The daily unseen grind of cooking, cleaning, managing schedules, and caring for others creates a stable foundation for our family. Many times I've wondered, am I good enough to be their mom? So many times I've failed. I've been unkind, selfish, and lost my patience. But then I'm reminded that God gave me these children to raise, and it's through my weakness his glory will shine. It won't be my perfection that raises perfect kids that love Jesus, but Christ in me. Those daily challenges that we face strengthen and shape us, and leaning into Christ prevents burnout and frees us from perfection and allows us to serve with grace. It wasn't until I was a mom myself for several years that I truly realized the importance of a Christian mother in my own life, and I really appreciated how my mom raised me. My mom and I talk almost every day, and she truly is one of my best friends, and I'm so thankful for her. My mom was busy, but she always took time to make us kids feel valued and important. I remember being young and sitting on the couch with my brother and sister and bringing a stack of books to my mom for her to read to us. She spent time making my sister and I homemade doll and Barbie clothes. We baked cookies together. We played lots of games together as a family. And she took us to meet up with friends to hang out as often as possible. I had a carefree childhood, spent wild and free roaming our neighborhood, playing in the creek, riding bikes, and roller skating. My mom and I have always had a few shared interests. We enjoy shopping together and our love of flowers. Since I've been a mom, I often wonder how my mom kept her cool. I don't ever remember my mom raising her voice and yelling at us kids for anything, ever. She is the most patient mom you will ever meet. I don't think I will ever attain her level of patience and kindness. Looking back, I remember my mom saying yes more often than no, and I want my kids to remember their childhood that way. Yes, I'll play a game with you. Sure, I'll read you a story. I'd love to go on a walk with you. Making memories and forming relationships with my children is more important than that laundry we will never truly get on top of anyway. When we were working with my mom in the kitchen, cleaning or folding laundry together, we were always laughing and talking, sharing about what happened at school during the day. Sure, we had our moments of frustration, like when I couldn't seem to clean the bathroom or vacuum the floors good enough to reach my mom's standards. But I'm glad that she persisted in teaching me the value of doing a good job. My mom is usually the first one I talk to about everyday life, the joys and the struggles. She listens, she understands, and she gives good advice. We laugh together and we cry together, and she lets me know she's praying for me or my kids when we need it, and I'm still so thankful for her in my life. Royce and I got married in February of 2001. We were expecting our baby in November of 2003. That pregnancy ended in miscarriage. The following year was very hard. I couldn't get pregnant again, and I was struggling with depression. That year left me wounded, but wounds heal over time. Since then, I've talked with many friends about their struggles with infertility and loss, and hopefully gave them encouragement, or at least I could listen with understanding and empathize with their situation. Life's trials are here to make us stronger, better people. In 2005, Cooper was born, our guinea pig. In parenting, you figure things out as you go along. You have to. I know we made mistakes along the way, but I'm immensely proud of the way he has grown into adulthood. Isabella was born in 2008 and Brooklyn in March of 2010. All three of the big kids had birthdays within a 3-week time period. It was a month of birthday celebrations and cake. We talked about having a fourth one, but life was busy and full. And what if we didn't have enough time and energy to reach around? When Brooklyn went to kindergarten, I struggled emotionally. I was not ready for this stage of all of my kids being in school. But having one more now would be crazy. We got rid of all the baby things and it would be so on behind. I remember one Sunday morning, Glenda asking me how I was feeling about my baby going to school. And I started to cry and she prayed with me right there in the hallway. Mom, share your burdens with your friends. Cry with them, laugh with them, and pray for each other. It turned out that all the kids in school wasn't too bad. I ended up working at the school for the next 3 years, about 3 days a week, being a pre-K helper and substitute teaching in classes here and there. I felt involved with the school and enjoyed seeing the kids during the day. We were now comfortable in this new season of life. Then, plot twist. I unexpectedly became pregnant. Thankfully, you have 9 months to prepare for a baby. By the time we started to tell people our news, the surprise had worn off, and we were really excited. February 21st, 2008, 2 weeks before Brooklyn turned 8, Bentley was born, and Cooper finally got his brother. September of 2020, we completed our family, and Crew was born. He broke our springtime tradition of birthdays, and he feels very left out. He doesn't have his birthday with all the rest. Having two little boys grow up together has been so much fun, and I'm so thankful for the way they complete our family. Going back to sleepless nights, nap times, bottles, and strollers was a change of pace for our family, but I wouldn't want it any other way. Watching the older kids interact with the younger ones has been a lot of fun. The little boys always had a big sibling to scoop them up the moment they fussed. They fought over who could give them a bottle or rock them to sleep. And they helped lighten the load, and they are still teaching them so many things today. It brought out mercy, patience, and love. The friendship between the older kids and the younger ones is so special. At this point, we had quite a few years of parenting experience, and we learned a few things along the way. We already realized how fast time goes by, and we tried to slow down to enjoy those moments a little bit more. There have been many what were we thinking moments over the years. I had to relax my routine and parenting style to accommodate some of the challenges of raising older kids with younger siblings. Teaching my oldest to drive with a newborn in the back seat, running the older kids to sports practice and games and youth group all the while with the little ones in tow has made me feel a bit crazy at times. But I already look back on those early days with nostalgic feelings and wonder where has the time gone. I'm looking at my next last baby heading off to kindergarten this fall. However, my feelings surrounding it this time may be a little bit different. I am so thankful that God blessed our family with 5 children. Motherhood is filled with lots of expected things. Sleepless nights with teething babies, cleaning up puke, unexplained rashes, breaking up fights, and dandelion bouquets. Unexpected things are tossed our way with no warning at all. We've had a few broken bones and stitches and scary nights with croup. As a mother, we have to adapt to every situation, keep calm, and carry on. In October 2024, Bella tore her ACL during a soccer game. She had surgery and 9 long months of physical therapy. Watching them heal and go through pain is heartbreaking. Cooper had an accident at the beginning of March of 2025. He called and he said, "I had an accident. I'm fine, but I can't get out of my car." He took an ambulance ride as a patient versus being the one in control, and he didn't like it. His car was totaled, but he walked away with only bumps, bruises, and a lot wiser. 2 weeks later, Brooklyn passed out while running during a track meet and multiple times during the following week, and she took her first ambulance ride as well. We like to tease her that because she's the middle child, she was just feeling left out and needed some attention on her. After months of tests, she was finally cleared to return to sports, and the cause was linked to dehydration and drinking an energy drink before her run. That spring, I was feeling rather stressed out and overwhelmed. The song Still Waters by Leanna Crawford came out, and I listened to it on repeat for weeks. If you don't know this song, it's a heartfelt rendition of Psalms 23. It emphasizes God as our shepherd who provides peace, rest, and safety in the midst of life's fears. My relationship with my kids is very important. Depending on their age, that relationship looks different, but forming that relationship starts when they are little. Make sure your kids realize they are worthy of your time and attention. Take time to get down on the floor with them, play Legos or Barbies. It grows their confidence and it gives them a sense of self-worth. As they get older, it might look different. Shopping dates, going on runs or walks together, staying up late at night to talk. Finding a common interest or hobby with each one of your kids is so important. The relationship that you form with your child will continue throughout adulthood. Obviously, there will be difficult situations. The terrible twos, the strong-willed toddlers and teens alike, the always right and smarter than you kids. We moms are the disciplinarians, therefore the enemy at times. It takes extra patience, a double dose of grace, and lots of prayer. But when a good foundation has been made, you will come out the other side better for the struggles that you have gone through. Watching my kids grow from babies to toddlers to young children, teens, and into adulthood has been a peak experience of my life. We still have many more years left with the kids in our home. And I pray with God's help, I can surround them with love, help them make good choices, and teach them the way to go. I pray that God clearly opens doors for them and slams the ones they should not go through. I want each one of my children to know how much they are loved and that you are a child of God. You are unique and special and created in His image.
Thanks. All right. Good morning. I'm going to start with something totally unrelated to Mother's Day. I want to wish my nephew Tyler happy birthday because this young man was the very first to wish me a happy birthday on my birthday via text at 6:38 a.m. And I walked through the door twice this morning, gave him a hug, and didn't until I sit down realize that it was May 10th. So happy birthday, Tyler. Now, on to my presentation. I put some pictures up here so you wouldn't have to look at me. I just have to say, first of all, that I found it awesome that Alicia brought up the personality test, because I think you have up here the opposite of her. You know, I remember colors, right? So the one of the ones that I took was like yellow, red, blue, green. I think you were describing blue. I'm at like yellow, green. So I don't know. And they say as you get older, you're supposed to even out and have all those qualities. So, you know, fingers crossed. But I think I'd definitely lean toward that yellow-green side. Sanguine, phlegmatic or something. And that's not even supposed to go together. But at any rate, that would describe me. My first slide, as you can see, is an old portrait of someone. Some of you might know who she is. I clearly did not when I put her in this slide presentation because I found out she's not even a mother. She's one of my heroines because she was the founder of the Red Cross, Clara Barton, right? You know, and I'm a nurse, so that's good. But I was trying to put Martha Washington up there, and then I thought, photographs didn't come out till 1820, and she was like 1700s, founding of the nation, you know, anyway. So I started out my attempt to learn about mothers by Googling it. I'm going to share with you a few things that I learned on Google. Scary, I know. you know, a deeper search usually finds you what you need to find. But initially, you know, I'm seeing a lot of people from around the world and across history who have made a mark on history when you say, you know, who are the mothers of history? So I'll just tell you about a few. I looked also at our nation, you know, the founders of our nation. So that's where Martha Washington and Abigail Adams came from. There's a lot about them. They were very devoted mothers and wives and did well for our society, and I'm thankful for them. A couple other interesting people that came up that I never even heard of. A Native American lady, Wilma, who became the first female chief of the Cherokees and won a Presidential Medal of Freedom while raising her two girls. Indira Gandhi, the first female prime minister in India, mother of, I think, the Gandhi we all know, who became prime minister and sought to make India a peaceful nation. Alberta King, Coretta Scott King, wife and mother and wife of Martin Luther King Jr., who both fought for civil rights while raising, and then Coretta finished raising their four children after they lost their father and husband to assassination in 1968. Rose Kennedy was on there, mother of two U.S. senators and JFK. She buried five of her nine children, but saw child rearing as a duty of love. We all know who Mother Teresa is. She never had children of her own, but yet is known as a mother who loved children and cared for the lowest of the low in India. She won a Nobel Peace Prize. And the list goes on. Madame Curie, Jackie Kennedy, Queen Elizabeth, Sacagawea, Catherine the Great, and they didn't leave out Mary, the mother of Jesus, which I was glad. Oddly, they didn't have Eve. I guess I shouldn't say oddly. There's probably a reason for that. That maybe is a little too controversial, but we all know that Eve is the first mother of all mankind, so we should celebrate her on a day like today. I think when biblically we think of Sarah, the wife of Abraham, and initially the mother of the eventual 12 tribes of Judah, or 12 tribes of Jacob. And then, of course, yes, Mary, the mother of Jesus. I also looked up and found a lot of information, way too much information, so this is hard to keep to 10 minutes, but some of them were just too hard to pass up. Women in history who were Christian women who made a lot of difference. So this, I think, is Amy Carmichael, or maybe it's a Google rendition of her. I'm not sure. It could be AI, but this is supposed to be Amy Carmichael. You've probably heard of her. She was a missionary, and they title her a Mother of Hundreds. She was born in 1867 in Ireland, and her first ministry experience was in Belfast among impoverished girls who worked in the mills. She heard Hudson Taylor speak and ended up in overseas missions. Despite poor health, she lived the rest of her life in Bangalore, India, starting in 1895. And along with her teammates there, she established a home for children rescued from servitude in Hindu temples. And over the time, she became mother to hundreds of rescued babies, children, and teenagers. About 20 years into her maternal role, she had an injury that kept her in her home for the remainder of her 20 years of life. But in that time, she still saw little ones in her room. They came to visit her, and she wrote nearly 40 books. So each of these Christian mothers have a verse to go with them and a lesson for moms today. I didn't make these up, so I can't take credit, but I just thought they were good. James 1:27, religion that is pure and faultless is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction. So the lesson for moms today, lack of biological children doesn't preclude you from being a mother. Be a mother to the motherless, and don't let anything stop you from proclaiming the gospel. Next is Sarah. I don't have pictures of all these people, mainly because there weren't photographs for some of them, or the photographs didn't exist. Sarah Edwards, wife of Jonathan Edwards, mother of 11 children. She was born in 1710. And of their 11 children and their descendants, she had college presidents and professors, lawyers and physicians, judges, senators, public servants, from mayors to a U.S. vice president, authors, and hundreds of ministers and overseas missionaries. Sarah's motherhood impacts every corner of American history. Her husband, Jonathan, although involved in family life, studied much of the time, and the brunt of household duties fell to Sarah. But she created a happy home and an environment built on routine, rigor, and discipline. She probably wasn't very much like me. The verse for her is from Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the lesson from her life, serve your family wholeheartedly as to the Lord, trusting him to make himself known through you for generations to come. Through everyday acts of service, mothers can make historic and eternal impact through their children. Next is Elizabeth Elliot, wife, missionary, and mother, born in 1926, and she just died in 2015. She is someone that I always held in high esteem growing up. I love the story of that. Her husband flew for MAF, and we support Jason and Connie Risser, who now train MAF pilots, so that's kind of cool. But maybe you've heard the story of Elizabeth and her husband Jim, who served in Ecuador among the Alca Indians. Valerie was 10 months old when they went there. Or no, when Valerie was 10 months old when her father was killed by the Alca Indians. And Valerie said of her mother, because my parents prayed and hoped to bring Alcas to the Lord, when my father was killed, my mother had no thought that she should leave Ecuador. When fears flooded her mind, verses from scripture gave her assurance that we would be taken care of. She continued to work with and pray for the Alcas, and the more she prayed, the greater her love grew for the people, these people who needed a savior. So she stayed, and she brought about the change that her husband and his teammates began. Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. The lesson from that, and I would say this to our mission mothers, Ingrid, Jeanette, and so on, motherhood doesn't preclude you from mission. Be a mom on mission. Go and make disciples of all nations and take your children with you. I would be remiss if I did not, and probably should be spending more time on all of my Mercersburg Mennonite church mothers. I've been in this church before I was born. Before it was here, I was at Williamson Mennonite Church with some of you. And I could go on and on about pretty much all the women in this church who have influenced my life positively in some way. But I'm just going to take a minute to highlight one today. And you probably know her. And if you do, maybe you can send her a message on Facebook. Happy Mother's Day. And that's Rachel Ginrich. I think the reason I'm highlighting her is because I think she's probably the oldest mother in this congregation or has been a mother for the longest amount of time. Not only did she raise her own children well, but she continues to pray for our children, whether you know it or not. This woman is a prayer warrior. This is a picture that was taken from Ingrid Solemeyer's 50th birthday because she wanted to make sure that Ingrid knows that she prays for her. She didn't ask to have her picture taken. That was me. I asked Karen to get a picture and send it to me, which she did. But I am just so thankful for Rachel and so many more mothers in this church who have set an example. So as Dave mentioned, you might not have the greatest relationship with your own mother, but that's what church is about. This is a place where you can find so many women who uphold godly standards and set an example for you. Now I'm going to take the chance to highlight some of the most important people in my life. First of all, my mother's, right? The one on the right there is my own dear mother from birth, Connie Wadle, who has loved me throughout my life. She is organized and I'm not, so that probably was a challenge, has always been a challenge for her. And Linda Hurst. I don't know what I did to deserve such wonderful mothers in my life, but I am beyond blessed by both of them. I'm losing my place here. My own mother has loved me unconditionally from before I was born and been the safe haven in every storm of life. And my mother-in-law couldn't possibly have displayed a better example of what a mother-in-law should be. She's never been pushy. She's always just stood back, and if I need her, she jumps right up and helps. I call her at 3:15 to say, could you pick Keenan up from school at 3:30? Because I'm not going to get out of work on time. And if she's around, even if she's not, yeah, I'll get him, no problem. My own mother, 2 weeks ago, and I should be embarrassed to admit this in front of all you, but at the age of 50, my mother came to my house and did an entire basket of ironing for me 2 weeks ago, just because she does things like that. I don't know if I'll be her. Sorry, kids, but I sure am thankful for two women who have set such an example and really kind of make me nervous about my own abilities, but no, I'm very, very, very thankful for my mothers. So on to reflections of me as my own, in my own role as a mother. The first thing that comes to mind is I've had plenty of failures and hopefully some success. I look at my children and I think, yeah, not everything. You know, that personality type of being last minute and fly by the seat of your pants can cause for some stressful moments when you're trying to get everybody to school on time and turns you into a not very nice person. So there is benefit in being orderly and in control. But over the years that I've spent raising our four children, I've worried a lot, spent hours on my knees, cherished countless memories, and cried bittersweet tears as I've watched them move on to the next stage of life. I'm sure many of you can relate. I related to so much of what Krista and Alicia said. But although Brent and I have raised our children pretty much all the same, but the older would say that we're too lenient on the younger, but then I was the youngest, so I understand that's everyone. We have four similar yet very different individuals, and I thought, why is that? Well, it's because we didn't make them who they are. God did. God made them who they are. And I could have saved myself a lot of needless emotional turmoil throughout life and could still if I would just rest in that knowledge instead of wondering what I should have done differently. So all of you younger mothers, try not to focus on wondering what you should be doing differently. Instead, have a godly mother figure to look at. Stay in the Word of God. Remain close to and continue daily growing in Jesus just as you teach your children to do. I know you hear this all the time, but at this stage, and I've lived more than half of my life as a mother, Krista, just saying. It's getting more and more. But just rest in the knowledge instead of wondering if you should have done something different. And then if you keep teaching your children as you teach yourself as you teach your children, you don't need to worry. Rely on him daily. Know that your prayers are being heard. Every tear and moment of laughter has been seen by your Heavenly Father. He wants only for you to trust your children to him. And if you need to wave a white flag of surrender every now and again, that's probably a good thing, not a bad thing. None of us should be surprised that we're imperfect humans, and that also means we're imperfect mothers, but we can rely on this truth that God knows our weaknesses, he sees our imperfections, and he loves us all the same. Jesus intercedes for us. May we do that for our children all the days of our lives. So prayers that I've prayed for my children from the time they were small, Brent and I have prayed together, of course, for protection from evil, from emotional and physical harm, that they would become all that God created them to be and that they would fulfill his purpose on earth. I continue to pray those prayers, but in recent years I've added another one. As they have accepted Jesus as their Savior, I now pray, Jesus, pursue them relentlessly. That is the best thing we can pray for our children because they're human. They're on their own journey. They might make mistakes, but if Jesus is pursuing them as he will, if they have given their lives to him, we need not fear. And if they haven't given their lives to him, Jesus, pursue them relentlessly. So, do you have a child who has never met a stranger and who you had to watch vigilantly in public so they didn't wander off with someone friendly? Maybe she also loves to make people happy with hugs, laughter, food, and gifts. She may also love every animal under the sun and want a new one each day. Her heart for hurting people might be so big that when she grows up, she will want to spend her days helping them. Imagine all that the Lord will accomplish through her loving, magnetic personality and pray for him to protect and pursue her as she grows in him. Maybe you have a child who plays hard, works hard, sleeps hard, and has so many friends you can't remember all their names. The work and play hard mentality might come with some risk-taking behaviors, which could turn into late nights and several trips to the ER. But no need to worry. This could also be the child that will text someone just to let them know he's thinking of them. Turn to the Lord in prayer and think of all that he will accomplish through this hardworking, thoughtful, and generous young man as he grows in him. P.S. There may be a lot of groomsmen in his wedding. Maybe one of your children shares your odd sense of humor and actually looks forward to being invited on a hike with you so she can capture the beauty of nature all along the way. She might burst into song randomly and someday have songs of every genre and language on her playlist and know the lyrics to all of them. On the other hand, she could also one day be known by her classmates as the one who loves nothing more than having coffee and deep conversation. And I say classmates because some of her friends in school made a video about her, and they portrayed her as a counselor who just had coffee and conversation all the time. But that would apply to her family as well and friends. Pray for her lighthearted spirit and deeply caring heart to be directed by the guiding hand of Jesus as she grows in him. And perhaps one of your children has an uber inquisitive and creative mind, asks lots of questions, and has your mind ready for a nap by noon. He might also be the one who has no fear of bugs and critters, likes to study them, and will gladly bring them into your home for free. You probably can't keep him in Legos or STEM kits, and every time you turn around, there's a new creation and accompanying mess or interests such as Beyblades, baseball, Legos, robots, Legos, microscopes, Legos, 3D printers, basketball, Legos, electric guitar. You get the idea. This is the one who will always need a rhyme and reason for everything, but won't it be wonderful to see how the Lord might use a young man of conviction to further his kingdom? Pray for his heart and mind to be at peace and confident in Christ as he grows in him. And I'll conclude with just a few verses that have meant a lot to me in recent years. As you know, when your children start flying from the nest, your children get driver's licenses. Those of you who've been through that know the stress of that. It does change your perspective as a mother, and it makes you think more about other things. And it makes you think things that you probably shouldn't. And so it's good for you to stay focused on the Word of God. So Psalm 27:13 has been a comfort to me. It says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. When I think about the verse that says, train up a child in the way he should go. We don't know. It says, in the end, they will not depart from that. We don't know what all will happen because everybody's on their own journey in between there. Isaiah 59:1, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear your prayers for your child. And finally, Lamentations 3:22-23 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And God is faithful every day as we lift our children to him to make them all that he's created them to be. Thank you.
Thank you, Alicia and Krista and Mary, for sharing. And we've been blessed and challenged. And Jonathan and Royce and Brent, we look forward to hearing your version on Father's Day. Let's just stand as we close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we bring this service to a conclusion, Lord, we want to thank you for our mothers. Lord, we thank you for the godly influence, whether it be our biological mother or a godly woman in this congregation who's just had an influence on someone. Lord, we thank you. May we look at life through the faithfulness of these women. Lord, may we remember and reflect on the truth of the love comes from you through your son, Jesus. So, Lord, as we go from here, may we pause and reflect and give thanks to those who have impacted us. I think for myself, many women who have stepped up during my parents' divorce that prayed for me, checked in on me, brought me food. Lord, I thank you for those women. And I believe everyone within the sound of my voice, as they reflect on this day, there's somebody that has impacted their lives. I pray that they would take a moment today and give thanks for them. Lord, as we celebrate our mothers, we thank you for them. And as we part from here, Lord, may we go because of the impact they've had on us. But more importantly, because of the impact of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose again on the third day, who intercedes on our behalf. And it's because his blood that was shed that we can come to your throne to receive the grace and mercy that we need to live out this faith, as we've heard the testimonies of it today. It's in his name I pray. Amen. Happy Mother's Day again. Thank you for your time and attention. Go in love, peace of Jesus Christ. You're dismissed.